black on black. Black on black on black. Black on black. Black on black on black on black. Black on black on black. Black, black, black. Black on black on black on black. Black on black on black. Black, black, black. Black on black on black on black. Black on black on black. Hi. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. This is Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen. Usually, there would also be a second annoying voice coming after me, DJ D Fantastic. But today, you got me, because D is off enjoying her birthday, as a dope bitch should. And so, I will be heading the show today. And for those of you who maybe are just new to the programming, you were just coming upon different sites, and you just sort of stuttered upon Radio Valencia.fm, let me tell you what this show in particular is about. So, this one is a Bay Area native and a transfer, usually from the city south. We explore the real San Francisco, larger Bay Area, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city and where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen. And so that's our usual normal content, is just us sort of goofing off and talking about things going on in Black community, or usually around certain themes. Our show today will excitingly be a deep dive into salsa. It is definitely a art form that I have gotten obsessed with in the past couple of years, after a trip I took to Colombia and got obsessed with salsa dancing. And so I felt, because Dee's not here, that I could sort of take over and do this segment that I've been wanting to do for a really, really long time. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. I do have some special guests, and I will introduce them in a second after I talk about what's happening in the community. So just some events to highlight. I did want to take some time to acknowledge the passing of Angie Stone, a neo-soul artist, a beloved member of Black community who probably all of your mothers and grandmothers used to jam out to. She unfortunately passed away in a fatal car accident this past weekend, so definitely want to send some rest and power to Angie Stone, and also condolences to her family, her children. Our hearts are for sure with you and with the rest of the community who's also grieving at this time. And some events I also wanted to make sure to highlight. There will be an artist workshop hosted by my friend Orlando this Wednesday, March 5th at 888 Marin Street from 7 to 9 p.m. You can learn how to do a self-portrait. And I will say, our community knows, because Orlando is a dope artist and we've just gotten to witness so much of his creativity as various galleries, that if you do want to take a sort of self-portrait class, or if you just really want to see some dope art, I would strongly advise for you to go. And also just meet that lovely human being. Orlando does take commissions. Selfless plug. And then since we are in doing a salsa influence or salsa themed show, I wanted to make sure to highlight a salsa event going on this week. So every Wednesday there is a salsa night at Blondie's, which is here in the Mission on Valencia Street between 16th and 17th Street. They do this every Wednesday, and there's always a live band, and there's never a cover, which is a rarity for those who go out in the salsa scene to find something with a live band that doesn't have a cover. So that starts at 7 p.m. and it actually goes to 1 a.m., so good luck. The other event this week I wanted to highlight is at Zanzi's. They do Salsa Rueda, which, if you're not familiar, we'll probably touch on that a little bit, but it's timba, and then Rueda just implies that you are dancing in a circle. It's really, really fun. There is a class that happens before open dance, so from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., they do like a salsa class where you learn from the basics all the way up, because there is someone who's calling moves as you're moving through the circle, so you got to learn those. So if you're interested, definitely show up at 8 p.m. so you can learn all of the different moves. Then 10 p.m. to about 2 a.m. is open dance. This is a DJ event, and there is a cost at the door of $12, but absolutely worth it. It's in Oakland at Zanzi's. Moving on to our locals and our locals who are having events. Banda Sin Nombre will be at the Piano Palace in Half Moon Bay on March 23rd. The show will be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. and it's hosted by Artist Migration. I would really recommend, if folks are needing sort of a get out of the city getaway, a Piano Palace is such a beautiful, intimate venue. Banda Sin Nombre, they do a lot of their songs acoustic. I would highly recommend going. It's like the perfect sort of venue to consume their music in. Maybe I can get them onto the show soon to talk about it. I'll have to plug out to my Banda Sin Nombre people. If you're listening, I'm coming for you. Also the tickets for that will be $35, and Artist Migration is a nonprofit. It's absolutely worth paying that, for me, that's a high ticket value, but they're absolutely worth paying that too. And the band is absolutely worth compensating at that rate. And then the other I wanted to highlight is La Gente SF, who is part of our special guest lineup today. We'll be playing at Smiley's. So that will be on Saturday, March 29th. So a little bit far out there, but for my planners who like to set up their events a month in advance, here's one you can put onto your calendars already. So that event will start at 8 p.m. It'll be at Smiley's. The address for that is 41 Wharf Road, Bolinas. So again, Stop distracting me. Again, another sort of out of the city into the larger Bay Area sort of vibe. And I would also highly, highly recommend that. Now, I feel like I've been dropping hints at who our guests are. Let's bring them up. So I'm going to start first. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pass it to my right. And I just want...
Check, check, check.
That's right. I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself, sort of any plugs you want to add in there, any sort of hobbies, and then describe your relationship to salsa.
Vale, vale. What's good, y'all? My name is Rafael Sarria Bustamante. And I'm originally from the Mission, from San Francisco. My mom's from Cartagena, Colombia. My dad's from Managua, Nicaragua. They met at a house party a few blocks from here. And so I was raised here in Frisco and in the Bay, and also spent a lot of time down in Colombia and the Caribbean. And I connected with salsa through just, you know, family gatherings. Like, we would listen to Celia Cruz, we listened to Rubén Blades, and, you know, Grupo Nietzsche. And it was just something that was always there. When I was a kid, I didn't want to like it because it was my parents' shit. But at the same time, it was fun. Into it. And now in my band, La Gente SF, like, salsa is a huge part of our sound. We play, you know, Colombian cumbia, reggaeton, champeta, toda la vaina. But, like, salsa is a huge part about what we do. Mm. And, it's something like... It just was always there, and it took me a while. Once I finally fully embraced it, I realized, like, it's been such a huge part of my life since the day I was fucking born. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I love salsa.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Our second guest, I'm going to go ahead and have you just do a quick mic check for me. Mm-hmm.
Shit, shit.
Wait, get a little bit closer. Shit, shit. Yeah, a little bit closer.
Shit, shit. One, two.
You want to speak a little
bit? Howdy,
howdy. Yeah, there we are.
That's way.
Oh. All right. Introduce yourself, my friend.
Hello, people. Hello, my name is Ida Vega. And I'm originally from Cuba. And living here in the Bay Area for around 13 years. And I grew in Cuba, like 100% Cuban puppy.
Yeah. It's not as high as I want
and,
to be. That's better.
Influenced by salsa, first in Cuba.
Yeah. So, the only qualifier really needed.
No, but you grow out like dancing and singing salsa as well. Mm-hmm. Being in different many bands, salsa bands, and singing, working as a sound engineer, mixing, mastering as well. But just because I like it a lot, and it would be more about this later, but you know, like timba is what You know, I feel more affiliated. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's called salsa too, but it's timba. So we're going to explain what timba means.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that in the show, in the session of talking about all the different slices of salsa. I also want to add that Ide is an incredible dancer, which probably didn't need to be said by anyone who knows when someone drops Cuba, that means that they're Cuban. They've been dancing since they were in diapers. But I've learned so many different moves and rhythms, especially as I learned salsa in the caleño style, which is from Cali in Colombia, which is a very specific type of dancing. It's very specific footwork, and the rhythm is a little bit different than what is often danced here in the Bay Area. There's a very large timba scene, and that comes specifically from Cuba, and it's just a little bit different. It's funkier. I like it a lot. And so when I came back from my trip and I was trying to figure out how to put these things together, Ide, who I often run into or like comes over my place quite a bit, was like, okay. He's like, you just gotta, we dance in my living room quite often. It's been one of my favorite at home activities whenever you come by. So if you didn't mention that, and I feel like that was a very humble brag, amazing dancer here. And so what I want to do is I want to get us into our first music section. And this first sort of, grouping of songs, I just had us put all of our favorite sort of salsa songs on here. And so I want to ask Rafa, what song did you put on here?
Because I'm a mad narcissist,
yep,
and I want to promote my group, I put actually one of our newest singles is a song called Lotus Hotel, and it's a mix of sort of like a laid back sort of R&B, because I'm obsessed with like D'Angelo and that sort of vibe, and then it drops into more salsa, kind of lean into a timba. And half of it's in English, half of it's in Spanish, and you can hear the influences of just straight up like US R&B with a very much like a sort of Colombian cumbia, like Cuban Colombian sort of mix of salsa. And so it's called Lotus Hotel.
Very fusiony. Ide, what you put in the pot?
If I remember exactly, the one that I put there was Afloja la Guayaba by Michael Blanco y su salsa mayor. Michael Blanco is an amazing musician, and he plays a lot of instruments, and he's a very good orchestra director as well. But this is like pure timba.
Yeah.
Pure timba, and when you guys listen to it, you're going to be like, damn. I do, for sure.
And then the song that I submitted is Wasa.
Wasa.
Wasa. By Patio Four. This is a salsa choque, which is one of, I would say, just a branch of salsa. I've ran into quite a few people who don't consider salsa choque salsa. It's been interesting. Yeah, I ran into some people.
I got a story about that.
Yeah, I've actually ran into Colombian people who don't consider salsa choque salsa, which is always really interesting to me. But yeah, so it's a lot of like hip hop, reggaeton. Sort of, it's. I mean, the dancing is incredible. The beats are amazing. And so that'll be the last song in this groupings that you'll hear. We're first going to start off with the one that Ide just mentioned. So I hope you all enjoy, and I hope you all are going to stick around for this discussion. I'm so excited and so appreciative of having you both here. Thank you for taking the time, because y'all know I don't pay people to come. Neither my friends, and we just kicking it in here. So enjoy, y'all.
Cuéntame, mi negro. Guayaba conmigo. perception is my dissension. I am illusion. I fade away, cause damn, I've seen existence drifting by, breaks down this mind's resistance. And so I cry that I sang, I'm wasting my time. In the morning, though I can see you here with me, I'm losing my mind. In the evening, I swim through a sea of endless dawn. There's such resentment for the sweet contentment, stuck in detachment as I fade away. Damn, I see such beauty that it's pain. My thoughts just twist and crumble, but what's a lovely game. So I sang, I'm wasting my time. In the morning, you know I can see you with me, losing my mind. In the evening, I swim through a sea of endless dawn. Lord, I'm wasting my time. In the morning, I'm losing my mind. In the
my mind. In the evening, when I'm aéreo. Soy bombero y deportista, marinero y alpinista, y piloto de aviación. En el África un león, a mano limpia al frente, las cuatro patas le até, con mi propio cinturón. Luché con un tiburón, tomé un tigre siberiano, y en los mares australianos, surfé una ola gigante. Esto lo dice el cantante, y no es mentira, mi hermano.
No más mentiras, no. Se me quieren todo el día con el mismo cuento. El de la buena pipa, el de la buena pipa.
Basta ya.
No más mentiras, se me quieren todo el día con el mismo cuento.
No.
El de la buena pipa, el de la buena pipa.
También soy un hombre de ciencia, graduado en astronomía, y hasta la NASA se fía de mi sobrada experiencia. Me toman de referencia doctores de economía, porque descubrí la vía de regular la inflación. En ajedrez soy campeón, y a Kasparov le gané. Todo esto lo conté con la verdad por delante.
Seguimos con el otro tema, ¿ok?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
mucho.
Esta noche tumbo esa cama, tumbo esa cama, tumbo esa cama. Esta noche tumbo esa cama, tumbo esa cama, tumbo esa cama. Y dice, dice, dice.
¿Cómo es que?
Si tiro duro sufre, si tiro suave llora. Puro guasa guasa, guasa guasa. Si tiro duro sufre, si tiro suave llora. Yo sigo pegado haciendo misa. Pero si tiro duro sufre, si tiro suave llora. Sigue picado, ¿no? Si tiro duro sufre, si tiro suave llora.
Yo soy de Tumaco, yo soy de Tumaco y...
Duro, 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 duro.
¡Ay, no!
Duro, 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 duro.
¡Ay, no!
Duro, 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 duro.
¡Ay, no!
Duro, 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 duro.
¿Cómo es que?
Bla, 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 y no me quiso resolver. Delia y RJ, la combinación que explota.
DJ Control.
El patio 4 en la casa, desde la terraza. Disco Snacks. Yo soy de Tumaco, yo soy de Tumaco.
La salsa choque también, ¿y qué?
I hope you all enjoyed and we're up moving. This is definitely, if you have not gotten the memo, this is going to be a show where you can dance on the dance breaks. Get up, get out there, do all your different dances. If you've been to Cali, you need a refresher on your caleño steps. There is going to be salsa choque later on. Make sure you are ready. And so we are back, and I want to ground our discussion right now in sort of talking about salsa from before it was called salsa. So all the pieces that were put together, I did a little bit of research and I found a lot of different key influences. And I must say, like, salsa really is music of the Americas. It's such a blend of so many different cultures, so many African-based cultures that it was really interesting to get into that. Things that I always felt when I was learning the dance, like, we're very much verified by, like, talking with people and also doing my own research. And so, like, but you can't really talk about the beginnings of salsa because often people like to jump to 1970s, like, sort of the New York scene of salsa, without realizing there were so many other things going on before the 1970s that led up to there that need to be acknowledged. And it's really important to acknowledge all of those pieces into, because otherwise you are erasing cultures, and we don't want to do that here, right? And so there's in my research, I found, like, different types of Afro-Cuban music, different influence that Puerto Rican music had, how the jazz scene really played into that, plus, like, a plethora, because in the book, in Brooklyn, I think it was Brooklyn, right? Or is it Bronx?
Bronx.
In the Bronx.
Boogie
Thank
down.
You. Boogie Down Bronx. There were so many different Latino identities there that there was so much going on. And so I think a good place to sort of start this conversation is really going pre-1900s. Pre-1900s to what exactly was going on in Cuba, right? And so the first thing I sort of ran into was Son Cubano. And I will say that it was so interesting to hear that because it felt so folky to me. And so, Ide, I kind of would like for you to kind of describe, for folks who maybe aren't familiar with that, what exactly is Son Cubano?
Okay. Before Son Cubano, as you were saying before, mm-hmm. Yeah, the original salsa is not, like, basically on the 60s or 70s, like, way back, as you said. Mm-hmm. It's, like, from the Yorubas and the Afro slaves that were brought to work with the with the Spaniards, colonials times, and then they blend their music with the music from Spain. So the masters, or well, like no masters, well, like the owners, mm-hmm. don't know what they were saying, mm-hmm. and they know what the transition, they assimilate the music. Mm-hmm. It's not because they wanna like be nice with them. It's just like they wanna blend, so they don't know, you know. And then yeah. they know they because the owners don't wanna like celebrate parties, mm-hmm. to be afraid of that revelation, mm-hmm. you know, be rebels and all that. Mm-hmm. And they was like, okay, we're gonna make it, blend it with your music, so mm-hmm. you're happy. And they're like, mm-hmm. okay, you can do your party. I say, ah, we got it. Yeah, we got it. I got it. So that thing start right there, and then comes with the evolution with danzón, mm-hmm. danzonete. That was way before son and montuno. Then comes son, montuno, guaracha, mm-hmm. You know, cha cha cha, and then el son is like it's a mix of the danzón with a different kind of clave, and it was played more by people like in the mountains, like campesinos, like farmers and all that.
Okay. Well, I mean, when I was looking up danzón, I found it, the time frame they gave me was like late 1800s to 1920s.
Exactly.
They didn't give me the fact that it was people in the hills.
Yes.
It was the hills.
Yes, the hills.
That's really interesting. That is a fact that I didn't find.
They make it, and then from that, the montuno and song, it was many, it was expanded, it was like evolving, like mm-hmm. changui, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was the changui, because some people will play on the party and they say like, this is kind of boring, dude, mm-hmm. and then they want to like upgrade more and make it faster, so the changui become more a little upbeat.
Okay, when does rumba come?
Rumba was like way before,
okay, yeah. Before changui.
Oh, pff,
okay,
yeah.
So it's
rumba is from Yorubas,
right? Oh, okay, yeah. So that's in around the same time as son, then.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
Before.
Well, one question I did, because I found that sort of definition of like the foundation of salsa really being a blend between African rhythms and Spanish music.
Yes.
Can you go deeper into what exactly? What is that? Is it like Spanish melody? Like, what are we calling? What is Spanish?
Okay.
What's the Spanish? What are we? Yeah.
Well, the Spaniards.
No, what is Spanish? I know that's a very complicated question.
Yeah, hey, my Spanish people are there. Nothing personal. Okay.
What is the Spanish influence in that sort of foundation music of salsa? What exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, as I was saying, the slave. Mm-hmm. They were trying to create their own parties because, you know, they want to bring their roots, mm-hmm. you know, to celebrate like every Sunday, mm-hmm. or like every, you know, weekend, or whatever, mm-hmm. they have the little time, like the rituals, the singing,
yeah.
And the colonial, you know, the Warner, the Spaniards,
yeah.
They was like, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying, you know, mm-hmm. like this kind of like culty and secret. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you're talking about. I don't like this music that I can't understand.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they was like, you know what? I'm going to try to overcome you. Mm-hmm. Not by force. It's like, you know, intelligence. Because, mm-hmm. you know, black people are smart.
Yes, we are.
For sure. And then they camouflage the Yoruba music, mm-hmm. the African roots, mm-hmm. with French styles.
Interesting.
Spanish styles.
Okay.
And then it was created like they took balls, mm-hmm. and they took balls, mm-hmm. and music of like, you know, like the mm-hmm. big parties,
yeah.
or like on the 1800s, mm-hmm. and they camouflaged that.
Yeah.
And then it's when other like rhythms, mm-hmm. show what emerge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like danzón for the 1920s,
yeah.
is when get more like, you know, like it started before, mm-hmm. but in the 1920s when all the music started emerging too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was like modern times, people wanted like fusion music, so the Spaniards collaborate with that, and then from that is when like all the mix of music, mm-hmm. expand,
yeah,
and then create all the genres, all the type of music, mm-hmm. like danzón, danzonete, mm-hmm. you know, song.
And then what if I was listening to that, what would I hear? What would be the difference in what I hear from son to danzón to maybe even like rumba? Like how do you always amazed at how you all are like, you know, it.
There you go.
Yeah,
you go. It's like for example to bring an example like from old times and new times. Danzón has a diapason, like more slow, it's a little slower. And for example, timba is like syncopat, it's like an against beat, it's like against the clave. So it's like more like upbeat and faster. So it's a fusion of jazz, funky, rumba, and soul at the same time. And then you mix all that, and then what you're saying, like, whoa, it's just more time. No, it's like, even you, like, you can hear, like, and then soon, if people go and make research, the little bit of like a pam 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 is like you can see the synchronization of vowels. And then when you like put the other music on top of that, it's when you're like, oh, look at this, how interesting.
Yeah, man, the ear to hear all of those different claves happening and be able to, because I've always been really impressed by my friends who were able to listen to a salsa song and be like, oh, this is rumba, or like, oh, this has a little bit of rumba in it, this has a bit of mambo in it, this has all the, here's where you hear all of these different claves coming together. It's like such an overlay. It's so beautiful to hear all together.
And one of the main things that helps the evolving of the music, it was improvisation.
Yes.
The improvisation, people, it was like after hard work duty, or like in the break time, no pay break time. Like,
so was there always lyrics put to, like, do most songs have lyrics, or is there,
actually, to answer one of your earlier questions too, you were saying the difference between what danzón and, like, for example, changui and son montón, it's usually just like a tres, bongo, congas, clave, maracas, that's it. But danzón actually had trumpets, piano, clarinets. So they brought in more European instruments that they brought from like marching bands or from like the music they would have at the bullfights in Spain.
So they applied all of that
using these African rhythms.
That is something I ran into in my research, that danzón sort of brought in orchestral arrangements.
Yeah. Like
later involved into cha-cha-cha.
You can say the instrumentation. Yeah, that's true. The mother of all this is the African roots. You know, like Yoruba styles and rumba. Because from that, when music started emerging, well, you know, like merging with all the, you know, like the colonial music, you know, from the Hispanic or the some French that would like travel to the island and all that. Because it will go more like, you know, like the corsair from French, they stay in Cuba, make families there. It's a big story. But then you can see that after danzón, it was like a big boom.
Yeah.
From danzón, many riddles like talk as a, you know, like a sample danzón. Some musician was like, okay, from here we're gonna do this and this and that and that.
Snuck in more Africa.
And danzón in particular, that style only happening in Cuba, or had it already sort of come? We're still only in Cuba, right?
Yeah.
But within the Spanish Empire, like there were some outliers. Like there was a little bit, like what's happening in Port-au-Prince, a little bit in Puerto Rico, like it was starting to spread. Like even Calypso all came from all that shit. So it was kind of spreading, the fact that they could take these African foundations and put European instrumentation on top of it. But like Cuba was like definitely the cuna, the cradle of all of this, where it originally came from. Because in other places, different fusions were happening.
Exactly.
As far as this orchestral mixed with African, this specific mix, like we weren't doing that in Colombia. We were doing other stuff.
So
it was very different.
But he's right, and then I don't know that much. Well, I know a little because I follow music, but it's like the African, not only from Cuba, but from like Puerto Rico, Dominicana, they have to practically do the same. They have to blend the music with the colonial music to trying to like
sneak it.
You know, yeah. It's, you have to sneak the music.
It is a very, for listeners out there who maybe are not black or come from an oppressed society that was brought here to the Americas. That's a very common theme across all of our identities, is that our ancestors had to figure out a way to retain their culture, which usually meant blending it with the colonizing culture. Mm-hmm. It happened across various things, not just music, also
religion,
yeah. Language. Like religion is a really big one, which probably can be it can be it's a whole other episode that I would love to do. But like it's so interesting to see the ways in which, and so I fully believe what you, and I fully believe and stand on what you say, Edie, that black people are very smart. We did not survive by accident. We are some smart people who realize how we had to navigate this game. Exactly. In order for survival, and not only for survival, for our thrival of our own culture in a way that we could do it, you know. Something else I ran across is that in the 1930s and 1940s is when Afro-Cuban jazz was becoming a thing more in New York, maybe?
It started in Cuba. The Afro-Cuban thing, it started in Cuba with, like...
So basically, New Orleans, New York... You know, Cuba, all of this happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. It didn't start in one place. Like, basically mixing African rhythms with jazz, which is using European instruments, that was happening everywhere simultaneously. Like, people try to say, like, oh, jazz started in New Orleans, and Mambo started, like, it's not, it all happened, and they were all interchanging, and it was all mixing.
Because people were moving through those areas.
Constantly. Yeah. So it was, like, basically at that, especially during the Spanish Empire, New Orleans, Port-au-Prince, San Juan, Cartagena, Cuba, Puerto Rico, it was all one country, basically. So they were constantly exchanging everything because it was basically New Spain, and so all that shit was just being moved around through trade routes, through slavery, through music. So and that goes all the way to like the earliest like jazz that we have from New Orleans. It was being directly influenced. What was happening in the Dominican Republic, what was happening in Cartagena, what was happening in Port-au-Prince and Haiti.
But for example, like the Afro-Cuban jazz, it was created in Cuba, but then people emigrated from Cuba to New York, like Machito,
You
know, Santa Maria.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, but you know, they brought like a different style of jazz.
Yeah.
But it's true, like jazz was like evolving and all this, you know, because that music, the 40s and the 50s was like a Mayan gold era for music.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to the part. Let's talk about Mambo. I've steadily been building, like, what is Mambo? And then after seeing all the dances, like, I have so many more questions and fascinations with this particular style. But from what I understand about Mambo, also created in Cuba and popularized in New York, and Mambo added a brass heavy arrangement, sort of different rhythms and a danceable energy, a really fast danceable energy that really took over sort of the New York scene. And I'm interested in sort of like who were those Mambo people that really brought that into New York and
No, what you're gonna say to the point there.
Like Machito has, you know, he was part of that. And Tomaso Perez Prado, for sure. But before he became popular in the United States, also Mexico was part of that.
Oh, really?
Mexico and Cuba. Yeah. Because the ballrooms, it was like the ballroom, the dancing rooms in Cuba. The dances start, like the things start in Cuba, but then musicians emigrate to Mexico. Mexico make it very popular. And then people in the United States were like,
But if you want to talk about history of Mambo, there's one person who I think, if you want to say salsa started with one person or Mambo started with one person, it's Benny More. He was a singer from Cuba, and he was the first person to mix folklore rumba with son montuno, with charanga, with all that.
Amazing.
And he didn't write any music. He would literally walk up to the bass player and go like this, boom, boom. Boom, boom, ba, boom, boom, boom. And you play this, da-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, and he would scat all the parts. Mm-hmm. And Benny More is like the foundation for anything we call cha-cha, mambo, salsa, all that came from literally one crazy person, Benny More. And he was this amazing, like, prolific singer, performer. And because of him, he created this whole, he started fusing the ballroom shit, the casino shit, with the shit that was happening with the campesinos, with the farmers up in the mountains, with the folkloric African Santeria music. Benny More is the guy who did it all.
I mean, something that I was really blown away by, because we had a great time at my place last night, just sort of like nailing down what do we want to talk about, is looking at the videos, because there are old black and white videos that you can find of these people like leading in these different genres, and they're really like, they're conducting class out there. They are pointing at people to stand. They are creating the sound right there and then live, and just pointing at different instruments to go. Sometimes having to shut a piano down because the pianist has gotten onto a bit of a tangent and won't calm down. But it's really, I mean, it's watching genius at work.
And I don't want to cut you, but I just want to say, it's like Rafa said, privilege was most for white people. So most of these amazing black musicians, they never went to school. They don't even have to read music. They were even playing like piano, trumpet, everything by ear. And that coordination they had all together, playing by ear, and then you put like a note or like, you know, like a book, and then like, why are you showing me? I don't understand this.
There was no sheet music in front of anybody in these videos.
Absolutely not.
People were just playing and were being pointed at and just going all the way around. There wasn't sheet music.
That's why
really
I say a lot of improvisation.
And going back to what he said about the history of mumble, when Benny Wade basically started this new style that eventually became branded as mumble, like Pérez Prado, he tried to do this eccentric music in Cuba. It didn't kind of blow up in Cuba, but he started doing soundtracks in Mexico City. And then it blew up. And then through that, it started going into New York. And that's why, you know, have Ricky Ricardo, like Lucia Ball doing, you know, Babalu and all that shit, which is basically just mambo music. And then Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, you know, Count Basie, all of them started listening to this music. So if you listen in the United States, they all started listening. So mambo became like pretty much this kind of catch-all phrase for like, let's take all this music from Latin America and the Caribbean and let's make it pop in the United States. And so in the U.S., it got huge, and they didn't know how to explain all this. So they just said, all of that's mumble. It became this umbrella term for like whatever. It's like now they just call everything reggaeton. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all one thing. So because of Benny Moré and Pérez Prado specifically, and then Machito, Senor Rodriguez, mumble became the catch-all term that blew up Caribbean music, especially from Cuba, all over the world.
And then there's like some great also things going on dance-wise. I found like a couple of famous dancers. I can't remember one of their names currently. I remember I was talking with you about
Cuban
it.
Pete.
Yes, Cuban. Oh my God, get into Cuban Pete. If you can look up the videos, man, he's doing some incredible stuff. And then also what was happening during the same time, because now we're getting into about the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, is what was going on in terms of Black American style was also Lindy Hop. And we watched a Lindy Hop dance break. That it's probably one of the the most famous Lindy Hop dance break of all time. You can actually just type it in and it'll pop up immediately. And so when I was doing, I was curious because the energy was so similar that I was wondering if there was any sort of exchange going on. And what I found is that these ballrooms in New York, they would play both of these styles of music. So both of these types of dancers were in the room constantly borrowing from each other and elevating their own craft. And so in venues like Savoy Ballroom, the Palladium Ballroom, these venues often played both swing and Latin music, bringing different dance communities together. So it really was like a rise of a social sort of like dance music moment there. And I was always really, I was really interesting. I found that really, really interesting in particular. One thing I think we haven't talked about, we for sure have covered sort of the evolution of what was going on musically and even dance-wise and beats-wise. I'm curious if we can talk about what might have also been going on politically. Like, if there were things that sort of maybe either that salsa music was being used to in a political sense, or if even there's like some political reasons why that migration happened to the states that brought that music.
Are you talking about salsa
here
or mambo? Because I feel like we're still in mambo land.
I would say let's start with mambo land, or let's start with before salsa became salsa.
Well, there is the occupation of Puerto Rico. So Puerto Rico is an occupied, it's a colony. It's like Palestine, it's like Hawaii, it's completely colonized. So you have, this place is colonized, all the resources are fucking stolen, and so these people were coming to New York not because they wanted to, because they wanted to have some opportunity because their places were being pillaged. So a lot of their music, especially Plena Bomba, which are two of the folkloric music from Puerto Rico, the foundation is resistance to colonialism and revolution and fighting white supremacy. And so that inevitably comes out in the music and the lyrics. And I feel like that's one of the huge contributions of Puerto Ricans to salsa and mambo in general, is they brought that rebellious spirit. Because at the time, you know, Cuba was basically being run by the mafia. It was like the pre-Fidel, you know, it was run by the mafia. It was like the rich man's playground. True. So they basically were saying like party, party, have fun, party, party, have fun. Whereas in Puerto Rico, it was more about we've been occupied by everybody, let's fight back. So I would say especially the Puerto Ricans brought that revolutionary spirit like real hard. And also the fact that South Bronx was the hood, it was like black and, you know, black and Latino folks and black Latino folks had no rights in a white supremacist fucking culture in New York. So the music and culture immediately reflects like this revolutionary spirit that we're gonna put our flag down and fuck all y'all.
New York is such a unique culture.
It is.
And a lot of it has to do with sort of the reasons why certain groups ended up there. They created this really strong political identity, I would even say, in New York, that maybe folks who identify there identify so much differently than other folks of the same identity in other places of the states. It's interesting to talk to people.
Well, for example, you talk about New York. It's like, where the most poor, you know, the biggest, you know, part of the poorest population in New York, you know, was like congregate, you know, it was like the Bronx, Brooklyn, and then like there was like all these people from different countries with amazing ideas struggling, and it's where like a lot of things emerge, you know, like, but they come together too for a reason that you're like, oh, I immigrate for this, but I want to keep helping my country, like Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, like they were like against, like, you know,
I would say in Cuba, the Cuban Revolution of 1959, I think, is like a big, maybe it's for why people came here as well as also brought that sort of political energy to here when they landed here as well.
And that is, as you see, like, all that started with the Yoruba thing, with the Africans. You know, they couldn't have, you know, there wasn't freedom. They wasn't free, and then they wanted freedom, and they expressed that freedom desire through music.
That's return to the roots. I love that full circle moment. So I have other things I want to dive into, but I think we should get into our next musical break because it's our longest one.
We've been talking.
It's good. I love it. But I want to make sure we also get a chance to hear this music that we are also talking about. And so the way that the next section is layered, it's meant to go through sort of the timeline of salsa, starting with a song, with a music that's based in song, then going to Chingui. And so I hope you all enjoy the first song that we're going to stop with. It is let me see what the name of this is. Hey. I think it's on. Hey. Whose show is this? La Negra Tomas?
La Negra Tomasa.
I can't see the full name. And who is that song by, Rafa?
This is the original song version. I'm not sure who wrote the original song. But it's a very famous salsa song.
Who wrote this one, Ide?
That's from, oh my god,
Compay Segundo.
For real.
Compay Segundo.
Sí.
Ese tipo tiene un montón de temas.
That's the second song. We're going to start with the Changui first. Sorry, fake out. But enjoy, y'all.
Go find sick. es la cuna del tango.